That old Jerry Reed song, Eastbound and Down, we got a long way to go, and we got a short time to get there. But we're going to get there, though. So me and Ruth and Tommy, we don't coordinate my message that God gave me with her, what God gave her for the music. So that's separate. So it just so happens, one of the songs she sang about forgiveness. So guess what we're preaching on today? If you want a title, How Can I Find Forgiveness? That's what we're going to talk about. But I said we got a long ways to go before we get there. So I got some stuff that came up we're going to talk about real quick. Some good stuff. So go ahead and turn to Psalms 32, 1 through 5. That's going to be our scripture today. We're going to break down and discuss, amongst others. Let me get my ducks in a row here. So we've been talking about Jesus, just different aspects of Jesus. Last week we talked about the second coming. He is coming back, and we need to hang our hat on that and our faith. But so I'm just going to read a few characteristics real quick. I just wouldn't plan, but He is. We're talking about Jesus. So He is the Alpha and Omega. And this is, if you catch this, you can't, it's not up there, but it's alphabetical order. So He's the Alpha, Omega, the Anointed One. He is the Beloved Son. He's the Bright Morning Star. He's the Carpenter of Nazareth, the Christ of Glory. He is the Deliverer. He's the day star from on high. He's the everlasting Lord. He's the first and the last. The Greek was Alpha Omega. Now we're talking about He's the first and the last. The faithful and the true. He's the great I am. He's the good shepherd. He's the high priest. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Emmanuel, God with us, what that means. The judge of all the earth. He's the King of Jews. He's the King of Kings. He's the lily of the valley, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, and the Lord of Lords. He's the man of sorrows. He's the morning star. He's the Nazarene. He's the overcomer. The Prince of Peace. The Redeemer. The Rabbi and the Rock. The Son of God. The Son of Man. The Savior of the world. The Teacher who came from God. The Virgin Son. The Word of God. And here's my favorite, the last two. The way, the truth, and the life. And He's Yahweh, Joshua, Jesus. He's the Son of God. I didn't plan all this. So this, you know, I pray each week that God gives me what He wants me to, the message He wants me to bring. It just so happened that we covered over several months every bit of this. You may have not been here, but it's okay. May not remember. I could probably preach last week's sermon. Y'all just play. Hey, I see y'all wake up. Hey, matter of fact, that's what I want you to do real quick. Take the sour pickle out of your mouth. Smile and tell everybody hi. It's okay to smile today. Hey, we're saved by the grace of God. And we're going to talk about forgiveness here in a little bit. I brought my phone. I never do this, but the reason I brought my phone up here, I got a little, not my testimony, but I want to share a testimony. The people that I'm going to share this about don't know I'm doing this. They know I'm going to talk to the church about it, but they didn't know I'm going to mention their names. That's okay. They're not doing it for the glory. But they went to Kerrville. They felt led to go to Kerrville and help out. And the testimony they came back with is an eye-opener. And we talk about a lot from this pulpit, from Bible studies. And so what is God calling you to do? I'm not telling you to go to Kerrville, the flooded area. But God has called each and every one of us to do something. This is a husband and wife that acted on it and got a blessing out of it. So let me read what she sent me. She said, if you feel led, you might share this with the church. Lloyd and I, you probably know who I'm talking about when I said that, Lloyd and Fran Bowen, if they don't mind me sharing, came to Kerrville to help with the disaster. Here's a couple of notes on the experience. I didn't know what work was until I got here. This is a lady that's worked all her life here. Okay. Lots of work, but there were several sobering moments. Yesterday, they said over 100 people died. Looking out on the river and hearing someone talk about girls trying to get to higher ground. Parents, their children losing their lives, trying to escape the flooding, torrential rains. How fast it all happened. Driving through 15 miles of seeing total destruction and debris piles. Much debris, even high as up to the trees. So many uprooted, beautiful trees now lying flat on the ground. But we quickly saw, now here's, now all that's, you know, all that's not good, but this is what they come out with. But we quickly saw we worked with resilient people. At Camp Mystic, we passed on the way there. The warning went out 1 hour prior to the flood, but they did not leave fast enough. So very sad. We worked in places where water got only, and she did it on purpose, 6 to 7 feet. That was the good spots in the buildings. Inside the rooms, try to picture water that high in building and trying to escape. There were many workers there from all over the nation, and we spent almost the entire day tearing out everything that has to be replaced down to the stud walls. It is so heart-touching, especially hearing their stories. Please continue to pray for God to restore the folks in these areas physically and emotionally. Thank y'all. Anyway, she wanted me to share that if I felt led to, and I did feel led to. She shared it with us. And so, now I said before when this happened, we'll probably never know why this happened, why it happened, the floods or whatever. But what she's seen from that is people coming together. It's for one purpose. So what I want to tell you is, whatever God's calling you to do, there's going to be a purpose for it. He's not just going to just tell you to do something without a purpose. So just act on what God tells you to do, because you never know how He might touch your life and others because of what you do. And that's just two people from Oakhurst that just felt led. And by the way, they're up in their 70s. Not that 70 people can't work, but it's not like, that's a lot of work tearing out walls. But they felt led to do it, and they went and helped. They did their part. So anyway, not to sadden anybody, but just want to share that. So we're going to talk about forgiveness. We talked about Jesus. That's, you know, the one way through Him. There's only one way. That's through Christ. And so what is forgiveness? What are we forgiven from? We're going to break all that down today, or try to. So let's just read Psalms 32, 1 through 5. Let's read that first. Blessed is the one. Notice how it starts out. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. And worse, spirit is not no deceit. And whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sins. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity to mention these words and just open our hearts to what you have us receive. Just thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So notice this psalmist, when he's writing, he went from what's going to happen, blessed. And then in the middle, he put in there, before he asked for forgiveness, being weighted down, what sin can do to you, slowly. But let me throw a couple of definitions out there. You know, transgression, that's a big word, is a defiant disobedience to God. You deliberately disobey God. Defiance. Transgression. He mentions these in the verses we read. And what sin is. Sin is anything that separates you from God. So it's all sin. It's all one big umbrella. Transgression is a little bit different. It's you deliberately sin. And deceit. To be self-deceived. Go figure. So we're going to talk about this sin, this iniquity is also perversion, distortion of that which is right. And we talked about, we had a whole sermon on Jesus being the truth, what the truth is. Truth is truth. It's through the eyes of the Lord, not what you want to make the truth to fit you. That's kind of what we're talking about with distortion of the truth. We're going to stay on track with that. So, let's talk about the priority of forgiveness. That means it's important. So, first of all, you got to recognize that you need forgiveness, that you need God, that you need Jesus. We all stumble. We all done a couple of things. You know, I jokingly said one time I squeezed a toothpaste from the middle of the tube one time. Felt bad. You know, it's supposed to go from the bottom up. I tell you, y'all rough crowd. Y'all rough crowd. We can get you smiling here in a minute. So, or rip the tag off a couch. Don't do that either. That's a felony. So, all right. So the priority of forgiveness. So the writer here says he was wasting away. Psalm 32:3, right at the beginning. In the middle of it, he said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away." Now, I guess I'm going to speak for myself. I'm not going to assume that y'all been through this. Have you been in that situation or that place in your life where whatever you done or didn't do, you know, sin is also can be what you didn't do, you know, not just what you do sometimes, that it just eats away at you, that it's, you can't get rid of it, you know, you, it drags you down, wears you out mentally, sometimes physically. This is where this person's at. He's talking about where I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Just groan, complain, poor me. The same verse that he said he was also weighed down. He was wasting away, he was weighed down. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. And he was wearing out. For the day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped. So, you at this spot, this whatever time in your life you was at this point, you got to do something about it, okay? So, God never leaves. Jesus is always there. He's waiting on you and stuff. But you, me, when I say you, that means me too. You know, I point at you, there's three pointing back at me. So, I'm not just preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to myself. And so, you have to make a choice. You got to decide, do you want to waste away in that place you at, weighing down that burden, or do you want to just clean it up and give it to God? You can't do it. I can't do it, but Jesus can. There's nothing that Jesus cannot do for you to get you out of that situation. But you got to make a move, though. You know, what's that old saying? To get a reaction, there has to be an action first. You got to do something. So get out of that junk. Whatever that junk is, lack of better words, get out of that and give it to God. Okay, that's the priority of forgiveness. So the priority is you got to do something. Get out of it. Now we're going to transit the power of forgiveness. So now things are starting to look on the bright side a little bit here. So Psalm 32:1-2, at the beginning, he said, "Blessed," okay, it starts it out, "blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Notice he's talking about the transgressions, the ones that you did out of defiant, being defiant intentionally did, then you got sins that you may or may not made a choice to do it. You hit your hand with your thumb with a hammer, and you said something you weren't supposed to say. You ever done that? Just me? Okay. Ouch. So, blessed is one whose transgressions are forgiven and sin. So what I want you to take out of that, if you deliberately sin, or you committed a sin, or you stumbled, God, through Jesus Christ, has the power to forgive that, to get rid of it, to clean it up. You can't be bad enough that Jesus can't fix it. Can't be. I don't care what you've done. You know, I say that, I probably shouldn't say it this way. I don't care what you've done, who you've done it to, or who done it to you. It don't matter. If you truly give it to Jesus, He'll clean you up. He'll clean you up, and we're all dirty rags, every one of us, at best. I like how your dad says that. At best, we're dirty rags. But Jesus can clean us up. So also, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count. This is where it gets good now. This is the good stuff. So not only is it forgiven, He don't hold it against you. Do we do that? Do we hold grudges? Yes. I'm going to say yeah. God don't. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. God would take it, like I said, clean it up. The Holy Spirit, you'd be clean, there'd be no deceit. And we're going to talk about what it means when he says he forgets about it. We're going to talk about some scripture that in reference to that here in a minute. But I just kind of throw this out. And so he won't hold it against you. So if you truly confess it, give it to him, he throws it away and it's forgotten. He's not going to bring it up a year later. I remember when you did this. Now, the flesh will, Satan will, he'll throw it in your face. He'll throw it in your face. You ain't worthy enough. Remember when you did whatever you did. Whatever. There's only one that walked this earth perfect. The only one. The process of forgiveness. So we got the priority of it. We know we got to do it. We got to clean it up. We know what the power of it is. And we're going to break all this down a little more here in a minute too. But there's a process. Process of forgiveness. Psalms 32:5. The last verse we read. Then I acknowledge my sin to you. Notice what he did. I acknowledged it to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Now, how many of us like to water down what we've done? You know, that's what he's getting at right here. And God already knows what you did or what you didn't do or what you're going to do. You know, there's no surprises. That's why a lot of bad things happen at night. I always tell my kids, after midnight, nothing good happens. You need to be home. We try to cover things up. We try to water it down. We try to make light of it. Don't own up to it. But notice this guy said, Then he was talking about being weighed down right before that. He realized he had to do something, right? He had to do that action. He had to do something. He said, then I acknowledged it. I said, God, here it is. I messed up like a bad checkbook, whatever his problem was. He acknowledged his sin, and he didn't cover it up. He didn't try to sugarcoat it. And he said, I will confess to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt. So see what happened. That's the process of it. So just give it to him. You take whatever that is. And it don't have to be nothing real bad per se. It don't have to be nothing real good either. Just whatever it is, big or small, give it to him. Just turn it over to him and confess it. Then here comes the promises that God gives us. We do all that. We give it to Him. We turn it over to Him. And we're reverting back to the very beginning of what we read. He started out what the promise is. Then he went through in the middle of that scripture, 32:1-5. He went through the middle of being weighed down. And then the promise, then he go back to the promise. So you're going to be blessed. Blessed is one. So there's your promise. You give it to him, turn it over. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. So we're right back to it, but that's where we at. So that's what you give it to him, turn it over, and that's what's going to happen. He's going to bless you. Isaiah 55:7. I just want to reiterate real quick the definition of forgiveness from Scripture, not Webster. You can look up stuff on Google and Webster, but we won't do Scripture. We want to look at Scripture. Isaiah 55:7 tells us, let the wicked forsake their ways. Now, let me stop there. Automatically, I know what you did in your mind. You dismissed it because you're not wicked. Okay, hang on a minute. Because we think of wicked as a, you know, bad, bad, bad. We all wicked. We all dirty, remember. We all mess up. We all got sin. We all got something and or had something in our life that we need to get rid of, whatever that may be. So he's talking to us. Let's be wicked, forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let's let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. The best example, biblical, probably not the best, but one I like the best, of being messed up and being close to God is King David. If you know, just run through it real quick. You know, he was King David. He committed adultery, had her husband intentionally killed in battle, try to cover it up. And then what does God call him? A man after my own heart. Because David gets rid of that. So I don't think nobody here killed nobody. Don't tell me if you did, please. No. Come up here and just confess and don't tell me. But what I'm saying is, I don't care what you've done. Again, I say it again. I don't care what you've done, when you've done it, who you've done it to. It don't matter. Confess it and give it to God. Let me finish reading Isaiah. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely, freely pardon. Freely. He did it all, every single bit of it, right there on the cross, through his son, Jesus Christ. Because again, you and I, nobody in here could do it on their own, but Jesus could, and he did. And he done that for us, so we can freely be pardoned from our sin. We're going to talk here in a little bit, I think, when I get down here in a minute, about making that choice in order to get this. I'll just give you a little glimpse of the conclusion here. You got to have Christ, first of all. You got to accept him before you can have all this we're talking about. You got to have Christ first. And I like to put it this way. So you got a choice to make. So if you do not choose to follow Christ or accept Christ, by default, you made a choice to go burn in hell for eternity. Nobody's going to choose that. Anybody in the right mind is not going to choose to do that, to go to hell for eternity. But if you do not choose Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's by default, that's the choice you made. And I ain't sugarcoating it, because there's no need to, because that's what it is. It's the truth, it's the truth. However you want to look at it, it's the truth. I don't even know why I went down that road, but there you go. So that's Isaiah's verse. So God's forgiveness is costly. What does that mean? So we're going to look at Colossians. You don't have to turn there. I think Daryl may have it on the board here in a minute. Colossians 2:13-14. When you were dead in your sins, notice that, when you were dead, we all was dead in our sins until we accepted Christ, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of your legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. He took it. God's forgiveness is costly to his son. Now, what it's going to cost you is to make that choice to follow him. And you're going to have to sacrifice something at some point. A little bit of time. Maybe a little of joke and ridicule that you're a Christian. Over here, there's nothing compared to what they go through overseas. They get killed for it. Or what are you willing to do for Christ? He did it all for you. What are you willing to do for him? And I would tell you to prepare yourself to any sort of persecution. You got to be mentally ready for it. Not wait till it happens. Prepare yourself for it to happen. If we live long enough, if Jesus don't come back, we're probably going to see some of that over here at some point. Maybe, maybe not. I can't answer that question. But I just know you got to prepare yourself. How'd you do that? Stay in his word daily. Talk to him. Communicate. Pray. God's forgiveness is committed. So it's costly. It's committed. Isaiah 43:25 tells us, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake and remembers your sin no more. God is committed to hold his truth and his promises to you. If you confess your sins and get rid of it, he's going to commit that he forgets. It's over. It's done. Don't dwell on it. We are our own worst enemy, our flesh. But it's kind of hard for us to let things go that in the past. But we need to follow what he done for us, and we need to do that. I like 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, some scripture are just, plain as you can be, right to the point. If you confess your sins, you got to do something. You got to do it. Give it to him. And God's forgiveness is corrective, meaning get you back on track. Now, he does not say or don't promise that you can have some consequences from what you did. You may suffer a little bit for some one way or the other, but it will get you back on track, get you back in line with him, get you back on the road you need to be on. Then God's forgiveness is connective, meaning is link you back to him and then others. You know, when you line up with God and you living and you obeying you and God's will, it reflects and bleeds over to everybody else around you, or it should. You know, we talked about a bunch. If you're a Christian, don't tell me you are. You just be one, and we know you are. Just by the way, just for example, just what I read a while ago from that little testimony. And I'm not blowing their horn for them. They wouldn't want it that way. But they did something simple as they felt called to go help. And they went and helped and looked the blessing they got. And that's all they done. They didn't do anything special besides drive to Kerrville. A little bit of sacrifice, a little bit of time, a little bit of sweat. God's forgiveness is like putting your sins. This is where it gets good now. Y'all ready? Hang on. Hang on to your side there. So I'm just trying to get y'all to smile a little bit. Y'all doing pretty good. God's forgiveness is like putting your sins as far as the east is from the west. Now they say, I ain't never been on an airplane that long. If you fly east, or no, you fly west, you'll never go back east. They never connect. Right? But I think, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, if you fly north, you're eventually going to go back down south. But west and east, so whatever, however, it's a long ways apart. God's going to forgive you. And he says, as far as the east is from the west, it's gone, it's done. You don't never have to worry about it no more. Put that in your rearview mirror. It's done. And don't look back. Don't look back. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so as he removed our transgressions from us. That's Psalms 103, 11 through 12. There it is up on the board. That's where I got it from. I forgot to tell you. As far as the east is from the west. And we're going down a little laundry list. So if east is from the west, we're just telling you what he does with sin when you confess it. He also, God forgives, forgiveness is like burying something in the deepest part of the sea. That's Micah 7:18 or 7:19. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl. You know, he didn't say throw. There's a difference. Throwing and hurling. Hurling, you know, you got to come way back, pull muscles, hurt your back, and just give it all you got. So that's what he's going to do with your sin. Hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Now, I barely got through high school because I didn't pay attention. So I think the deepest part of the sea is pretty deep. Pretty deep. And so whatever that is, all you fishermen out there that's been deep sea, I don't go deep sea fishing. I don't want to go that far out. So east is from the west, deepest is the deepest part of the sea. Also like casting something behind your back. You know how you, when you're done with something, old girlfriend, or I mean, old, just playing. When you get rid of something, you throw it back, you don't pay attention, you're gone, you move on. So God's forgiveness is like erasing something that from existence. And Isaiah 44:22 tells us, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Just like the morning mist, you wake up, you got dew on the ground, and it don't take, especially this time of year, it don't take long, it's not there no more. That's exactly what that's the way he looks at your sin. It evaporates, it's gone. And he said, return to me. Now he did it for you. You give it to him, he's going to do it, but he said, return to me. Like a mother hen with her wings spread over babies. God has us. He has complete control. And by the way, there's nothing on this earth or this whole creation that God is not in control of. Even the floods in Kerrville, he has complete control and never has lost control. And he always was, will, and always will be. And God's forgiveness is like God forgetting that ever happened. It ever happened. That's Hebrews 8:12. And then one more verse and I shut up. Jeremiah 31 tells us, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. It's gone. So you take, I call it junk, whatever word you want to use. Sin. You take that junk that's in your life right now, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. You truly give it to God. You make the choice, first of all, you have to make the choice to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you got the option of making the choice of giving it to him, forgiving your sins. And I will close with this. I call it the prescription for forgiveness. You know how the doctor writes you a little medicine prescription, take care of your problems? Let me tell you what the prescription for all sin is. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And I get to read one of my favorite verses. I'm going to read John 14:1-6. Then when I get done, we're going to stand. We're going to pray. We're going to have a song of invitation. After reading John 14:1-6, you're going to know what you need to do. Now, you got a choice. You can do it where you're standing at, or you can do it right here at the altar. Come to me, whatever you need to do. Or if you have Jesus, it's hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But if you got something you need to wrap up and give it to him, as far as east from the west, throw it in the sea, whatever, go throw it in Lake Livingston, whatever you need to do, you do it. John 14, 1 through 6 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me, also in me. Now, this gets pretty powerful here. This is Jesus speaking. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Remember last week, we talked about the second coming of Christ. Right now, he's I am. And he's in heaven, sitting by his Father on his rightful place. Say it right. Where he's supposed to be. He decided to come down here and clean us up. He's going to come back. He's going to come back. That you also may be where I am. You know the way, the place where I'm going. And then, of course, just like the rest of us, we got somebody that's going to have a little doubt there. So his disciple that walked with him for 3 years, Thomas, said, we don't know where you're going. So I'm paraphrasing. So let me tell you what Jesus says. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. Period. Stand. Bow your heads. We're going to close with prayer. If you want that way, if you need that way, because let me tell you, that's the only way. Can't get no plainer. That's as plain as you can get it right there, what he said. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you need him, come up here and get him. Just, I need Jesus. That's all you got to do. If you have Jesus and you got something that's weighing you down, that's burdening you, you need to put it on the altar, come to me, or whatever you need to do. Standing where you at, that's fine too. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you again for these words you gave us. Just open our minds, our hearts, our souls to what you have us receive, Lord. Just thank you again for everything you've done. In Jesus' name I pray.